Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Before you know it, the Tupelo Public School District will be opening its doors to start the 2026-27 academic year. But on behalf of Dr. Rob Piku and the Board of Trustees, we'd like to say thanks for a fantastic 2025-26 year. Lots to celebrate and be proud of. Go Wave!
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night where recruiting just never should surprise you anyway. It's always kind of been this way. This era and the social media era in particular has bred a little bit more chaos than what we're used to. But recruiting never stops, and the drama with recruiting never stops. Ultimately, honestly, a great day for Ole Miss recruiting-wise. Took a bit of a one of these to get there, but a good recruiting day ultimately for Ole Miss. So welcome into this edition of the show. My name, of course, is Michael Borky. I really appreciate you being here. Don't forget to subscribe. Just search the name wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get this here. Subscribe. If you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate you doing just that. We're obviously talking about recruiting tonight, but I want to tell you about Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I know, I see your comments saying it's not Saltillo, it's Saltillo. And I'm going to take your word for it. The guys at Scruggs have not corrected me. So I plead ignorance on that. But I do know, because I've been there many times, that Scruggs is the place to go if you are doing any kind of home improvement project, if you just want new appliances, if you want to make some subtle improvements in your house or do the big stuff. And also same thing in your garden, in your yard, or if you have hunting property or anything like that, Scruggs has got you covered. But most importantly, if you want to take care of your property and you want to do it with America's tractor, John Deere, they've got 0% financing on all of these things, varying months, but all of these things. Zero turn mowers, 5 series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all of them, 0%. Get behind a John Deere, 0% for all of them. If you want a Gator as well for your land or driving the kids around the neighborhood or something like that, I mean, you really got to break the bank at 1.9% if you want a Gator as well. Deals run through August 4th, so you can get your equipment from Scruggs, from John Deere at 0%. And again, anything that you need under one roof, they have got you at Scruggs. Okay. Drama, drama, drama. Let's start with the heavy drama, and then we'll get into the good stuff first. Ben Jarvis Shoemaker was committed to Ole Miss, and yesterday, Ben Jarvis Shoemaker, he's from Ackerman, shut down his recruitment. They did this sip stayed thing, and he announced that he was shutting down his recruitment. And then earlier today, the same player flips to Colorado. Just one of those situations where goofy stuff like that does happen in recruiting. I keep seeing people that cover recruiting say this is recruiting in 2026. You've got story after story dating back years about players snapping at the last minute, mom refusing to sign, you know, his paperwork to go to certain school, flips at the last minute, guys that are definitely not in Oxford as being reported by some people, but he's definitely in Oxford because I was in the same room as him when it was being reported that he wasn't there. I mean, you get all that kind of crap in recruiting. Recruiting is a pain in the butt to follow. And for the people that have to truly cover it every day, that sucks. It's hard to follow. It's a pain in the butt. Now, it is very important, as we talk about all the time, even in this era, high school recruiting, building a foundation is important. I think that you have enough evidence now in the portal era that guys from your state or very close to your school are less likely to transfer, give you the opportunity to actually build and develop. Now, again, that's not an exact science. Guys are still going to leave and whatnot, but
What would this Ole Miss team be without high school recruiting? They'd have been screwed if it was portal exclusive, right? So especially on the defensive line where they're really solid, and that's rooted in high school Mississippi guys, both starters and depth as well. They've done a really good job, especially since Pete Golding has arrived, at recruiting in-state defensive players from within the state of Mississippi. So it's very important. All that being said, like I said on the radio show today before we knew that he was going to flip back to Ole Miss, was it's important. Talking about recruiting is important. Signing good players is important. But also getting, you know, bent out of shape about one player in particular, you know, probably not the best use of your emotional capital, especially when that happened. It felt odd to begin with. It really didn't make a lot of sense. And especially when it's Colorado. And again, I said this on the show today. I said, I would be surprised if that sticks because it's Colorado specifically. Deion Sanders has been having health issues to begin with, and also the program is not what anybody thought it would be. I don't think he's going to be the coach at Colorado in 2027. There's a bit of a reputation in the recruiting world about the stuff that Colorado's doing anyway, and it just does not feel stable. Yeah, we can put it that way, and for a lot of reasons at Colorado. I didn't think this was going to stick regardless. And then, of course, he flips back to Ole Miss tonight. He released a statement here. I'll read it for you. Why not? I'll skip some of it. Let's see. After careful thought and prayer and conversations with my family, I've decided to remain committed to Ole Miss and officially shut down my recruitment. Heard that before, but that's okay. I apologize for any confusion that may have come over the last several hours. This process has reaffirmed to me that Ole Miss is where I'm meant to be. I believe in the vision for the program and the relationships my family and I have built in Oxford and the opportunity to develop both on and off the field. Thank you for everyone that supported me on and on and on. So he is back in the boat for Ole Miss. I do hope, because we got some text in the show today, and I keep referencing the radio show. Sorry, I'm also not talking clearly tonight, but that were really hard on the young man, and I understand why. I mean, we get the very typical, does commitment not mean anything to these kids anymore and all that stuff. Maybe there was a point in time where high school kids were exclusively dependable, and they made up their mind early and they never wavered from that. But that wasn't me when I was in high school. A high school kid doing something like this is not revelatory of bad character or anything. It's a high school kid. They change their mind a lot. It does happen. I hope, though, that this can be a learning experience for him, but also, you know, the people that are quote unquote advising him, whether they're advising him or not, the advice was bad, or they need to start giving it better. Because doing the shut down my recruitment to flipping to Colorado to shutting down the recruitment again and flipping back, that does send red flags. That sends bad signals. Does not mean he's a bad young man. I'm sure he's a wonderful young man, but that does send bad signals. And the people around him, hopefully we'll get to him, and hey, like, you didn't have to do the shut down the recruitment thing if you were still fielding offers from other places. Just don't even bother with that. Just continue to go through the process and then commit when you're really actually ready. But if you're still doing this other stuff with other programs and taking phone calls, don't make a big deal about shutting down your recruitment. An agent, a family member, somebody hopefully will kind of sit him down and say, hey, you know, don't do this if you're not ready to do this. It's okay if you're not ready, but don't do this again. Make sure that this is the final time, and you hope that those conversations have happened, because I'd be lying to you if I said that this doesn't, especially in the portal era, raise some, like, okay, I mean, yeah, you know, he's back going to Ole Miss, and that's good for Ole Miss, but also in the portal era, are you sure that that's not going to happen here in a year anyway, right? So that does raise some concerns. And so hopefully he's got some people giving him some good advice. moving forward. Great player, somebody that you want. And again, nothing that I just said is revelatory of character at all. When I was 17, I didn't make great decisions. I wasn't sound in logic and reason in a lot of things that I did when I was a teenager. So I think that all is well that ends well. You just hope that it does, in fact, end well. So snip, snap, back in the boat for Ole Miss. And you know, that's got to stick, obviously, until the end. Now, in the meantime, in the chaos of it, they also added the number two player in the state of Mississippi, Mitchell Turner. He is also a defensive lineman from Louisville. So Ole Miss, in the state of Mississippi, two blue chip defensive linemen from Mississippi State territory. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from the campus there at Mississippi State. Both of them headed to Ole Miss. Mitchell Turner announced his commitment to Ole Miss today. According to Hayes Fawcett, chose them over Texas, Alabama, and LSU. I know there was some stuff here locally within the state that was made about he was torn and that kind of stuff. You know, he committed right on time. The word from Ole Miss circles was always that he was going to go to Ole Miss. I don't think, you know, the waffling wasn't necessarily. It doesn't appear to be accurate anyway. Maybe, you know, again, it's recruiting. It's June. Long way to go. Things could change between now and the end. But got to make the Final Four if you're truly waffling on that decision. But anyway, good pickup. More importantly, as I tell you guys all the time, especially in this era, one player is not going to make or break a class, especially, again, in this era. But here is Ole Miss again doing really good things for the best players within the state of Mississippi. They've currently got two of the top four. I think a lot of people expect Jackson Academy offensive lineman Caden Moss to commit to Ole Miss as well. He's the number one player in the state. For whatever it's worth, Rivals, I know these prediction numbers are not, you know, great, but Rivals has Ole Miss an 85% lead for Antonio Berry. Again, I don't know. I don't know. I'll just resign that to this model. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I'm not going to make a prediction. But he's an offensive lineman from Tupelo as well. But here is Ole Miss yet again, taking care of the trenches within the state of Mississippi. And more importantly, big picture, this is the 11th blue chip prospect in the class for Ole Miss. If this holds, if they don't add another one, again, if this holds and they do not add another commitment, this will be the most blue chip prospects that they have had in a single recruiting class since 2016. So blue chip, if you're not familiar, is a four or five star player. They currently, again, have 11. And I'm looking at On3/Rivals. And I'll go through each year to further illustrate this. So again, it's June 23rd. And they have 11. The 2026 class had 6. The 2025 class had 9. 2024 class had 10. And that was a top 20 class. 2023 had 7. One of those was a five-star, though. That was the Centurion Perkins year. 2022 had 6. 2021 had 9. You see where I'm getting at? 2020 had 5. 19 had 9. 18 had 4 blue chips in the 2018 class. 2017 had 6. And then here is 2016. They had 15. Greg Little, Shea Patterson, and Benito Jones were all in that class, obviously. Shea Patterson did not really work out there. So that is the bigger deal here is totality in the class. And again, there's a long way to go, but that also means that they have more opportunity to add. But to this point, if they don't add another blue chip player, the most blue chips that they have had in a recruiting class since 2016. And so, as we say all the time, it goes back to games haven't happened yet. And if the season goes poorly, momentum goes away. But after a coaching change, momentum has just continued to build for the program. So really good stuff from Pete Golding and staff there to continue recruiting like this at the high school level. So especially on the offensive and defensive line, the lines of scrimmage are, breaking news, more at 11, incredibly important in the sport of football. But when you've got guys in your backyard, blue chippers from your state in the trenches, you've got to lock those guys down. And it's increasing, I think, especially in the revenue sharing era, it's harder to find good offensive linemen anyway. The ones that hit the portal are so overpriced relative to their skill, and it's so highly competitive. Those are positions that you really got to build from within, and Ole Miss is doing that. We'll see how well they can close. Podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith. Shelter Insurance is where he is, and he will take care of you anywhere in the state of Mississippi. Give him a call. Tell him it was me that sent you there. If you need auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or if your business needs it as well, he's got you covered. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Again, anywhere in the state of Mississippi. And it's worth a five-minute phone call, even if you already have insurance. What's 5 minutes going to hurt? You'll get a great quote. You'll get a great service. Check them out. Logan Smith at Shelter. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day. Online banking, outstanding. 16 locations in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision making. It's in the name. It's what they'll do for you. You are their priority, and they will prove that to you at Priority One Bank. Switch and bank with me there. Also, Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs anywhere in the state. ABSMS.com is the website. Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Give us the good news, Borky. I already did. There's nothing else to give, I guess, although I did love. We can break down the changes that the PGA Tour made today. You guys want to do that? We can do that if you want to do that. That's good news. I actually really like a lot of the decisions that the tour made today. But you guys don't want to talk about that, do you? Stuff like this is why I can't seriously follow high school recruiting, just vaguely pay attention and then look closer in December. And that's where I am, too. And I've told you guys this before. When you're doing 3 hours of radio every day and also this podcast on top of it, you have to talk about recruiting some. But I think if you're going to do recruiting, you've got to cover recruiting or at least have somebody on the team, right, that's all they do. That is their beat, is recruiting. And it can get, there's a lot of names. It's not something that we want to do. That's what the recruiting services are for, right? We're more of like an entertainment conversation platform. You've got recruiting services that have recruiting guys that are dedicated to covering it. So when things happen, we will talk about it. And the people that cover recruiting do a great job, especially on the local beat. They do a really good job. That's not our vertical, as people say. So I'm like you. I'll cover it when things happen. But I don't have the capacity to do it every day, because if you're going to do it every day, you got to do it right. And that's got to be kind of all you do, I think. But, you know, I'm not, you know, the oracle of sports media. So just tell me who's on the team in August. Yeah. At least without the second portal window, it's easier to keep up with your roster. I mean, they've been on your team since January, so you don't have to redo this. You've known who your guys are for a while now. You've had 5 months of all the new players. So Pete Golding's class is coming together well, and once again, they're dominating the top in-state prospects, particularly on defense. They are, and that's been trending that way ever since Golding showed up to Oxford. That they have done well at building relationships and connections and, you know, dominating the blue chip especially defensive linemen that have come out of this state, and there's been a good bit of them lately. Schools like LSU and Bama are always going to be consistent threats in Mississippi high school recruiting, but it's helped Ole Miss that state has become a complete non-factor in the top players in state. It's online fan behavior, so who really cares? But I did see the message board geniuses about the Alabama website having a meltdown, and you have grown men that feel entitled to the decision of a 17-year-old that's not, like, even from their state. An out-of-state kid chooses to stay at his in-state school, and you're melting down over it. I don't understand that part of it. Like he owed you something. Very odd. Very odd. It's the defensive line. Most importantly, that position will win you many games, and they've had a lot of homegrown guys. Yep. Absolutely. Watch everything you post, my friend. Keep it up. Good to see you, Hurston, man. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing really well. Heidi Tye from Colorado. What are you doing out there? Colorado's not a serious program. No, it does not appear to be the case. What's always been funny is most of these high-rated kids between 17 and 18 years old are getting offered more money than probably all of us who would see that in many years. Yeah, And there's a rumor that a particular running back has been offered a $2 million a year contract with a school that's not in Mississippi. $6 million offer, $2 million a year. Kids never stepped foot on a college field before. You think Golding building from high school recruiting is the way to go? The last few years, everyone was talking about building programs from the portal. Is the future, not high school recruiting. I think you just have to balance it. You have to balance it the right way. I think that you have two ways to build your roster, and if you are not using both of them, you're doing it wrong. I think that, like I said before, especially on the lines of scrimmage, you really should emphasize high school on the lines of scrimmage. Because those guys are just few and far between in the portal. I think you've seen a dip in the available talent, especially at offensive line in the transfer portal. This year in particular, Seton was a big fish. But look at, the quality or experienced offensive linemen that hit the portal as opposed to, like, wide receiver. They weren't really there. I think the rev share era has allowed schools to be able to pay even more and keep their guys. But those positions, I think you have got to get guys out of high school because the talent's just not there to build that way. A lot of receivers out there in the portal. They've done well, in the defensive backfield. But no, a lot more projects on the lines of scrimmage. Real chance that Ole Miss can end up with the top four players in the state. That would be huge. If you're Ole Miss, closing this class will be pretty interesting. I think there's a decent chance of a coaching change in Starkville in December. Getting kids from that territory is big for them. That is an interesting, how many wins needed dynamic for him there. Key is getting highly rated O-line and D-line from high school. Look at us. Great minds think alike. It's the most reliable position group and the hardest to get in the portal. Yep. O-line portal is a nightmare. Think about it. Ole Miss was coming off of a semifinal appearance. They had money to spend, and they needed tackles. And look, there's a chance that the ones they got pan out. But Ole Miss had money to spend, program momentum, and a need for starters. And that was the best that they could do. You got uber talented guy in Kinsler who has almost no experience. The Florida transfer that is super high ceiling, not anywhere close to it though. Basically no experience. And then Kern from LSU who's already gotten himself into legal trouble. I know the Chargers got dropped, but the trouble did occur. So, that's what you're dealing with. Therese Davis is going to, I assume is locked down one of those spots, but he doesn't have all that much experience himself. So any final thoughts on the Sorsby situation now that the supplemental draft is closed and he's basically hung out to dry, also Texas Tech as well. Yeah, we did talk about it a little bit today. There's a lot. I think that he, through this process, has been given some pretty awful advice. And the people that are backing him, there's a real chance that they didn't actually have his best interest in mind. Their legal defense, I thought, was disingenuous. If you truly have a young man that is an addict, and it certainly appears that he is when it comes to gambling, a month away and then inserting him right back into football is very unlikely to be what he actually needs if he's got a problem that much. There was an error of defiance and a lack of remorse. The NFL sniffed that out, and if you read the NFL's letter that they sent to him, they called that out, that not only in your filing to us, you didn't lay out anything. I mean, this is what the NFL said. They said, you didn't tell us, you know, your plan on how you're going to, you know, get better from this. You didn't include any of the NCAA investigation here. You didn't really admit to anything. You didn't show remorse in any way. And you filed 3 days before the supplemental draft. No, we are absolutely not going to let you in our league right now when you act like that. That they mentioned that he has shown a complete lack of accountability and those kind of things. The NFL is not going to put up with somebody that bet on his own team and just rubber stamp him entering the league right away without a ton of work. I also don't quite understand why there are some people that don't understand why you can't just allow a guy that bet on his own team, even if he didn't actually play in the game, to just, boom, step foot in your league, no time between, nothing, especially at that position. And they use the example of, you know, players that have been arrested, that have committed crimes. Well, they get to come back in the league. Why doesn't he? Well, number one, Sorsby's not banned forever. I'd be willing to bet that he's going to be able to freely enter the 2027 draft and he'll get to go play in the NFL. He's not banned for life. He's just, they're not letting him enter the supplemental draft a few days before the filing when they need a lot more information about the gambler. But it's not a morality question. It's not, is the gambling worse than the guy that committed the crime? Violent crimes. Guys still play in the NFL after committing violent crimes. It has happened before. It's not which one is morally worse. It's when you're putting on a product and the whole connection to the product is at its core, fans buying tickets, buying merchandise, watching on TV, know in their heart, if my team works the hardest and plays the best, they win the game. And it's easier for a fan to stomach somebody that has committed a crime on their football team as long as they know that the game and the outcome is still rooted in this team versus this team, and the one that played better wins the game. And it was only decided by hard work and execution, and that's it. The second you allow fans to think that the outcome is manipulated in nefarious ways, you lose your product. Maybe it shouldn't be this way, but fans have shown that they're willing to forgive somebody that has committed crimes to go back on their football team. Because we're talking about football here. These are people, you know, banging their heads against each other. We don't need them necessarily. It would be great if they were all the best people in the world and the best role models in the world. But that's not a requirement for fandom, is to have a team full of the best guys ever. It's to have a team full of the best players that win games that bring me joy for 3 hours a week. I do not believe that fans at large will ever stick around if they believe the outcomes of the games are manipulated in any way. Integrity of the game is the most important thing that the NFL can do. Is that morally right? Maybe not. Is that how it is? Absolutely. So I don't know why people can't understand that. I think it's a very simple concept to understand. And especially when you have the, well, why can't they bet? Who cares? These guys, they live unbelievable lives. They get, and they deserve this, right? Nobody else is putting 100,000 people in the stands with all the donations and all the money it costs to do that, and then millions on TV. But they get free room and board, food, medical insurance, training, facilities, and education, and now money, sometimes millions of dollars on top of it all. They are pampered, and they've earned it, but that's what they are. And so with that pampering comes the inability to gamble. That's a fine trade. That is a fair trade. Do you really want to be sitting next to your pilot at the airport bar pounding beers before he gets behind or gets into the cockpit and flies you to Atlanta? No, that's part of the job. I can have airport beers before I get on the plane. The pilot cannot. I can bet on the games. The quarterback cannot. It's just part of what you do. There are certain things that I can't do because of the job that I have. It's just part of the job that I have. And I can't act certain ways. I can't be certain ways. Could you imagine? So when LSU comes to Ole Miss, fans on the front row are going to be middle fingering, yelling, cussing, and all that at Kiffin. It's fine. Could you imagine the optics if it was me doing that? If I was on the front row, shirt off, painted up, middle fingers, yelling obscenities at Lane Kiffin? There's no way that I'd be able to show up to work on Monday and keep my job. There's no way. Super Talk would not be allowed to continue to put me on the air if I was acting like that at a football game. There are certain things that people can and cannot do with their jobs. This is just part of that. You can't gamble. Get over it. You're getting all kinds of free stuff. You're pampered. You're making all kinds of money. You can't bet. Sorry. It's part of the job. If you can't handle that, go play in the NAIA and bet all you want. But anyway, feel bad for the diehard State fans who followed Mitchell's recruitment. They were misled by some particular beat guys. Yeah. What's up, Austin? Good to see you. The portal is too diluted to not have good high school recruiting and sustain winning. Absolutely. A little worried about the left tackle position. Luckily, there's a lot of, you know, here's Spin Zone. Here's June Spin Zone. Because I'm concerned about the tackle position too. This is an offense that gets the ball out quick. This is a quarterback that has elite pocket presence. You've got a running back that's great in pass protection. Those help alleviate some issues on the offensive line. Flebby loses to Minnesota week two, it's over. Yes. Mullen will also be the top candidate. 100%. Here's a question. Not trying to make this a state-centered show, but if Lebby's gone, does State try to hire Charlie Weiss Jr.? I know that there will be State fans that will suggest it. I don't know if that's realistic. I think they will try to shoot their shot on sitting head coaches because Lebby had never been a head coach before, and I think that you can't go from offensive coordinator with no experience to offensive coordinator with no experience who also works under an offensive head coach. That would be a tough pill to swallow there. Cody Campbell's such a clown. Yep, and that's the guy that's financially backing the Save College Sports bill. I mean, the read his statements. That is the last person that we need pulling the strings of saving college sports, and I hope people wake up to that. Did Congress just give the SEC and the Big Ten the groundwork for getting out? Yes. They did. But by the way, Thursday, Thursday. We are going to go live at 8 o'clock instead of 9, one time on Thursday. And here's why. I don't want to do a pre-recorded thing again. I would like to go live with you guys. We're going to go live at 8 because the World Cup game is at 9. And I know we've already locked the group down and this game is utterly meaningless. I don't care. The World Cup happens once every 4 years. I'm going to watch every minute of all of our games. And so we're going to go live at 8 on Thursday. So keep that in mind. 8 o'clock Thursday instead of 9 because, and it'll probably be short. I mean, come on. It's the World Cup. He bet on his own team 40 times exactly. It does suck that most domestic abuse and criminal charges basically hold no weight in the NFL if it's not on camera like Ray Rice. I mean, there's another question too about, I mean, you saw it with Dart and, I mean, having to have a team meeting and stuff like that. And, I mean, for whatever my opinion is worth, I am a very, all athletes should stay out of politics altogether. All of it. Just stay away, stay out. However, if you're going to be a person that has a platform that says athletes should speak out, you cannot then turn around and get upset when an athlete speaks out on something you disagree with. And that's the hypocrisy that bothers me. I wouldn't. That would be my advice to all of them. Don't do it. But I don't care when they do. Whatever. If you want to speak on this policy or that, and I disagree with it, I don't care. You know, you're an athlete. I'm a sports talk guy. Why should I be bothered that you don't feel the same way I do about something? I do not care. Doesn't bother me. But it's the people that will encourage or almost force athletes to speak out or get involved politically. And if they get involved politically with a guy they don't like, they are now bad people. And Jackson Dart had to deal with that. Even if you don't like the person that he introduced, right? I'm trying not to get YouTube to flag this. And so I've got to avoid certain buzzwords, but and mess up the algorithm by saying specific politicians' names. But he ran into that. People that want athletes to speak out politically, when they do, it's, oh, no, you're a bad guy because you did this with a guy I don't like. And I think that's pathetic. You either invite them all to do it or none of them. But he had to deal with all that, yet guys that commit crimes and get arrested, there's no come-to-Jesus team meetings when that happens. It's pretty sad that, yeah, violence is almost ignored, but it's also a violent sport. We do have an epidemic of young men losing terrible amounts of money on gambling sites. Yeah, I mean, what was it? 67% of male college students actively bet on sports. I think that was the numbers that the SEC sent to their institutions. I think it's 67% of male college students bet on sports. It's insane. Now I have you pictured in my mind shirtless and yelling and screaming at Kiffin. Yeah, give me a front row seat. Eighty-five to ninety percent of people who say players should speak out on all voted specific type. Yeah, and that's why my advice would be to avoid it. Just don't even go there. But again, like I just said, I know I'm repetitive. It, you know, is what it is. I can't change myself, but I don't get bothered by it. One way or the other, I don't care. And this is going to sound demeaning, but it's true. It's like, you dunk basketballs for a living. I don't care if you agree with me or not. Why should I care? And the reverse is also true. Like, why should he care if I care? You know, I talk about sports for a living. Who cares? We put too much stock into people that don't directly impact us's opinions about things. And that includes me, hand up. Like, I put too much stock into what people say about me anonymously. It gets to me sometimes. And then I realize, wait, what am I doing? This person's too afraid to use their own name online and I'm getting bothered. So I'm kind of a hypocrite there. Kid you not, young women in college and in their 20s are gambling, are doing gambling sponsorships tailored to young men. Oh, absolutely. There was, I forget his name. There's a guy that writes for Outkick that said his teenage son was having a sleepover and they were all on their phones and he just kind of figured they were scrolling Instagram or something. And he listened to their conversations, a bunch of high school kids betting on sports. It's like, how did they even get an account? How is that even possible? But all of them were sitting there running parlays and stuff. I kind of feel like that's going to have a downstream, really negative societal effect. But any conference realignment stuff coming this offseason? No, because that bill that Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti asked for strictly prohibits it. You get what you ask for, boys. I talked about that a lot on Thursday's show. Last Thursday? I believe it was last Thursday. So, anyway. All right, guys. Good to see you, as always. Again, Thursday at 8 o'clock instead of 9 because the World Cup. Are you kidding me? I'm not missing the World Cup. No offense to you guys. I love you guys, but I'm not missing the World Cup. I will see you on the next one. Really appreciate you being here. And I will see you guys on Thursday night. Have a good one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.